This is Chapel for September 9th, 1986. Dr. Horn, visiting professor of preaching.
those of us among us. Lord God, we come to you this morning remembering those who hurt and are heavy-hearted. Remind us again and again to bring our burdens to you, that we might be restored and renewed by still waters. We come to you as a community, called to be servants. Help us to be kind one to another, that our lights may shine brightly in the world, and the message will be more believable through us. We come to you as a part of a nation and a world that is torn with strife, mistrust, injustice, and poverty. Help us to become more active doers of the word as well as proclaimers. Give to us your vision. Give to us your compassion. Just as you have given to us and entrusted to us your message of reconciliation. Open our hearts and minds that we might hear your word anew and follow you steadfastly. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our elder brother, and our dearest friend. Amen.
Would you join me in reflecting on our passages of Scripture this morning? Our Old Testament reading is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And our New Testament reading is found in the first chapter of Corinthians, verses 17 through 18. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." May our reflections upon these words guide our hearts and minds as we worship together. Amen.
This is a special week for our seminary community. As we come together each morning, I hope you will be here each morning in this week of commitment. We are especially pleased to have Dr. Chevis Horn as our speaker for the week. Dr. Horn is the visiting professor of preaching. He is also pastor emeritus of the First Baptist Church of Martinsville, Virginia. He served that church in a couple of different capacities for 9 to 40 years. That's a long time, first as an associate pastor, and then from 1947 until he retired in 1979 as pastor. He holds degrees from Wake Forest University and Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville. And Southern granted him the Alumnus of the Year Award in 1979. He has written many articles and several books, the latest of which is Preaching Great Themes of the Bible. He and his wife are certainly not new to Southeastern. He's been here on many occasions as a visiting professor of preaching, and he also served for several years, along with that preaching, teaching capacity, as chaplain. And for that, I have a deep respect and a deep understanding. Dr. Horn, we welcome you back to Southeastern, and we'll listen carefully as you lead us and speak to us this week.
The Chapel Committee in Grace has extended a little extra time for these services, but I promise not to abuse the gift. Now, I grew up in the revival tradition. My home church is a little church called Mintz Baptist Church in Sampson County near Roseboro. It's a little church. It has never had 100 members at any time in its history. Yet a great little church. It's always had an openness about it that I like. And it has been spared some of the prejudices that have afflicted Baptist churches in eastern North Carolina and churches elsewhere. And just as faithful as August was to come, that little church was faithful to have a revival meeting in late August. As a boy, I remember how the longings for new life stirred in my heart. And I hope those same longings will stir again in our hearts this week. Now, I suppose many of us need new directions of life. We need the reordering of priorities and the recentering of Christ in our lives. I said many of us. I suppose if we would be perfectly honest, we would say all of us need these things. Now, an invitation will not be given until Thursday, our last service. An invitation will be given then. You know, I feel that the act of dedication should be more than something private that's interior, deep down in our hearts. I think it should be made in the presence of God's people. And that's the kind of invitation I'll be giving Thursday. That in the midst of God's people, we shall share with them what we want to be and what we want to do. Now, Jesus Christ was a servant, and we are not better than our Lord. That's the theme of the week, the minister's servant, and this morning, servant of the word. God has spoken. What a wonderful exclamation that is. And in speaking, he has broken the terrible silence that hangs over us in our world. You remember Pascal said that he was frightened by the silence of the heavens. But there is one silence more frightening than that, and that's the silence of God, and that is the ultimate silence in life. What if no light had pierced the darkness and mystery of life? What if no word had come from beyond us telling us who we are and what we are to do on this planet? But God has broken that silence, for God has spoken. Robert J. McCracken, while he was pastor of the Riverside Church in New York City, came to Martinsville for a week of lecturing preaching. McCracken always liked to take a stroll after the evening service, and so I walked with him several evenings. And one day, I asked him what might be a silly question on the face of it. I said, after all, Dr. McCracken, why do people come to church? And he said, I think they come to hear a word from beyond themselves. And the word from beyond ourselves has been given. Helen and I were in Russia this summer. In planning our itinerary, we made sure we'd be in Moscow on Sunday because we wanted to worship at First Baptist Church. So the last Sunday morning, we pulled into Moscow by train from Helsinki about 8:30, too late to worship with them in the morning, but we caught the 6 o'clock worship service. It was the third service of the day, and about 800 people gathered to worship God there. Russia is a flat land in more than one way. Wonder and mystery have long fled that land. But as we stepped in that church that night, I knew we were standing beneath high skies. Three sermons, six anthems for the choir. The service lasted two hours. Yet I didn't see anyone drop off to sleep or check his watch. They were listening for a word that comes not from the flatland and the mentality of Russia, but which comes from beyond them. And they took great pride in saying to us, you know, Dr. Theodore Adams preached from this pulpit, and Dr. Billy Graham has preached from this pulpit. And a lady just back of us said, you know, Dr. Adams preached a powerful sermon from that pulpit. God has spoken. God has broken the fundamental silence of life, which could be so destructive. Now, God calls us to speak his word. God has said that he is high above us and his ways are not our ways. How in the world would we presume to speak God's word? Well, we could not do it at all if God's word had not come to us with a human accent. And since it has, we can hear that word and we can speak it. And God's word comes to us in a human accent because of the way he has revealed himself. He has revealed himself in history. He has revealed himself in events. He has revealed himself in historical persons. Finally, and in clearest accent, in Jesus of Nazareth. Now, if I had been God, I'd been far more dramatic in revealing myself than he did. I would have shaken earth to its foundation. And by my great cosmic voice, I would have frightened mankind. And I would say, don't you see who I am? I am God Almighty. But he didn't do it that way. He came to us in more modest ways. And when he finally made his unique disclosure, he came to us in a thing as frail and fragile as a baby that may have whimpered through that first night. His word comes to me with a human accent. Therefore, I can hear it and speak it. Now, I'm called to be a servant of that word, just as you are. I dislike arrogance anywhere. I despise it in the pulpit. There is no place for pride and arrogance in the pulpit. And I think we should be there, speaking the word and as if it were stepping aside, not obtruding in any sense, but letting the word find its way to the people. That doesn't mean that we are to negate ourselves or be self-effacing. It just means that we shall be the servant of the word in the pulpit. And once we have decided that, a lot of other things decided. The use of language and style and humor and wit and sarcasm. We press all of these into the service of the Word. I remember how the people in Eastern North Carolina prayed for their pastor just before he preached. Oh God, hide our pastor behind the cross this morning and let us see Jesus only. And while I heard it over and over and over again, I never got tired of it because it spoke of such an important thing. I tell my students that any Sunday morning, a member of the church says to him or her, "Our pastor is so gifted with words." I say to the students, "No, on that day you have misused words, words that called attention to themselves, and words that called attention to you." To be a servant. Now, if I am a servant of the Word of God, I'm to be gripped and grasped by it. I suppose at the heart of theological education is the effort to understand the Word of God, to grasp it. And I can't say too many good things about good theological education. But there is one thing more important than grasping the Word, and that is to be grasped by it. Jeremiah knew what it was to be grasped by the Word. You remember how he remonstrated with God and said, "God, I can't speak your word. I'm just a child." And then Jeremiah said, God did a dramatic thing. He reached out and touched my mouth and said, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Jeremiah was a brooding man, easily depressed, roughed up by the hands of his generation. And during a burnout one day, he said, "I don't want to speak the word anymore. I will not mention him or speak his word anymore." But he couldn't stop speaking it. He said, "There is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in." To be grasped by the word. Paul Tillich, when an old man, preached one of his powerful sermons in Orchestra Hall in Chicago, and a great people thronged him to express appreciation. In the group was a young man who brandished the Bible in the face of Tillich and skeptically asked, "Dr. Tillich, you believe this word?" And Dr. Tillich took the Bible and held it in his hand just for a minute and said, "Yes, if this book grasps you, but not if you grasp the book. If this book grasps you." Harry Emerson Fosdick said that he had been nurtured in the Bible and that he couldn't speak on any topic but what verses of Scripture lifted up their hands begging to be preached. And Scripture will do that. If you're a servant of the Word and if it has gripped your life, aren't you glad that God has broken the ultimate silence of life? That he has spoken in human accents so we can hear it and speak it? And that he calls us to be servants of that word? And that over and over again, the living word of God grasps us. Would you like to be a servant of that word? Will you stand? as you go now, may the light that has no darkness in it fall upon your paths. May the love that has no fear and bitterness in it be in your hearts. May the truth without falsehood be in your minds. May the word of God be in your hearts and upon your lips. And may the presence that can never be taken from you go with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.